You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
That's the spirit.
Are you there, Peter?
Yes, I am there.
Welcome. Safe and sound. Nothing too drastic happened at the Scientology meeting.
I survived. though I'd have to say that the security guards were out in no uncertain numbers.
I can imagine.
It was quite amazing. I mean, I'd been at the, earlier in the day, I'd been at the Chinese New Year festivals in Ellerslie, and we'd run right close to the Prime Minister, and the security guards hustled us on from there, but we were within about, you know, two people
right.
of the Prime Minister.
Ooh.
But I can tell you that David Miss... Oh, no, I've got to get his name. I've got to say his name correctly. David Miscavige. Miscavige. Who's the big chief of
the head of
Scientology.
Oh, in New Zealand or just in general?
No.
Mate
of Tom Cruise.
So the opening of this New Zealand branch is a big deal for them as well, I guess.
It's a major... Well, yeah. The money has clearly come from all around, and as they said, from all around the world, and I would assume that's been a fair bit of money come from some of their very wealthy donors, because you know, they bought it for $10 million. Apparently put $6 million more into the restoration of the building.
Ooh.
And there were, on my estimate, well, it looked like half the crowd, and let's say the crowd was well over 1,000.
Believers or just mostly sort of people just curious?
Well, half them would... Well, I would say less than half were just curious,
yes.
neighbours and friends and people around, though invitations had been issued pretty widely.
Mm.
But I'd say that half them might well have flown in from all around the world, from Scientology supporters, to be present on the big day.
Right. Wow, it sounds... Were there capes and stuff? Like, were they dressed in some kind of formal space outfit?
No. I'm sorry to tell you that although the appearance... I mean, the building was done with an enormous bow and ribbons and rosette hanging over the buildings, and when the ribbon was cut by... I think it was 6 or 8 people representing Scientology leaders.
Giant scissors?
Across
big scissors?
Relations. No, they all had individual scissors.
Oh.
But then instantly the ribbon broke above and hundreds of red and white balloons went up into the air over Auckland.
Oh, it glorious!
It was fantastic. It was just a great moment. But what was intriguing is, meanwhile, you could see dozens of security guards, and they hustled you on if you stood in front of the cameras or if you got anywhere near where Miscavige came from. If you went anywhere near there, they eyed you like a hawk and pushed you on. There's a very interesting account in the Sunday Star Times yesterday of David Ferrier writing about he'd been a member of Scientology.
Oh, yeah.
not a terribly committed member by the account. And as soon as they'd identified who it was and checked it up in their database, he was led out of the proceedings. I didn't see this, but it must have been happening sort of quietly alongside while the loudspeakers and the enormous and magnificent screens were giving the sort of grand tales by the key Scientologists of their wonderful experience.
Did they touch on the originator, that guy that's a really good writer, wrote books back in the day? Do you know the backstory?
Ron Hubbard.
Yes.
Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, apparently,
oh,
he.
Yes.
I got a call earlier. Apparently, he sort of wrote the book for like interrogations in World War II. Apparently, that's like sort of less talked about. He sort of wrote the book for getting inside the mind of your enemy, so to speak, or propaganda.
I think that's a slightly exaggerated tale.
He's a fantastic writer, though, isn't he? I mean,
oh,
that's
yes.
kind of
well, he was in fact a science fiction writer.
Mm. That's
became,
just the best gag, isn't it? Like,
yes. Well, yes, of course. I mean,
he wrote a great story in the end, didn't he?
Yeah, well, in some ways, Scientology comes directly out of the science fiction. The whole notion of the thetans, that those who reach the higher realms of Scientology become, in effect, gods who can astro-travel through space.
This super is, handy, that.
Well, it's drawn really from his science fiction writing. And he was a good science fiction writer. And I think that's part of the way he discovered the power of a good argument and a good story to attract people.
Did they did they touch on that at the opening at all? Or?
Yes, they did. There was a picture shown of... He was referred to throughout as LRH.
Okay. He looks like a chill guy. He's wearing like... He kind of looks like the captain from Gulliver's Island or whatever you call it.
Well, he did rather enjoy playing out roles, and a lot of the stories he told about himself were highly exaggerated according to most of the scholars who've looked into his life. Miss Gavagik, who took over from him, I mean, it's a very interesting story that 4 years ago, because Miss Gavagik was raised in the Scientology community in England.
Right.
And 4 years ago, his father absconded from Scientology, and there's been a good deal of drama around what's happened to the father since, who's supposed to, according to some stories, has been trailed by Scientology security figures since he left the faith, because he's written about his abandonment of Scientology.
Right.
And that's been sort of part of there's always scandalous stories surrounding Scientology, which in some ways they enjoy.
I'm just on the, it's interesting, I'm just on the Scientology website right now, and there's a map of the world, and it's that classic scenario where New Zealand's not even on the map of the world, so they better update that, because they've got a fucking...
That's well, that's disappointing, because as they said on Saturday, and I mean, this is a very interesting point, that there were followers in New Zealand
right
from 1955. So in the very, very beginnings, when Hubbard was transferring from science fiction writing to Dianetics, so that was his process that was to replace psychology with some kind of more scientific measure of human behaviour.
Yes.
There were New Zealand supporters for that. Okay. And that history was invoked on Saturday, very very significantly.
Right. Were you travelling alone, Peter? Were you by yourself?
I wasn't by myself.
I wouldn't go alone to that.
Somebody who wasn't enjoying it. So, I didn't hang around for long. But, I mean, what I was also fascinated that, firstly, the Scientology crowd acted very much as an American crowd, you know, leaping up and applauding every sentence.
Oh, God. Awesome.
It is
paid
very,
to
very
clap, you think?
Yeah, no, I think they live in a world which is a highly coded world, in which, in some ways, showbiz, I mean...
Was everyone looking around going, you better clap, I'm clapping, you clapping, clap louder?
Well, because they stood to applaud.
Right.
And so there was an instant effect, of the ripple effect came from the front and
went
you've
back. Got to keep getting up to applaud after that. You can't.
Yeah. So you could pick out who were the Scientologists compared to those who weren't by those who stood. And as I've said, it would be roughly probably two-thirds from what I could see who were probably Scientologists who'd come from, you know, say, it wouldn't have just been New Zealand. There were clearly a lot of Americans present.
Wow.
And quite a lot of Australians were recognised as having evidence going to be the headquarters for Australasia. So the Melbourne and Sydney key figures in Scientology were there.
Wow.
And were recognised as part of the proceedings.
And they were, did you say, were they wearing like sweet robes or anything?
No, I'm sorry, they were wearing...
I want like
wearing,
a staff or some kind of...
I'm really sorry to tell you that they were dressed in very, very smart suits. I mean, this is a highly fashion-conscious religion.
Right.
Because it has
to
appeal.
It's trendy. Well, it's modern.
Well, it does appeal. It's the Tom Cruise religion, so you've got to bear that in mind.
And, yes.
No mention of
Tom Cruise at all?
There was no mention of Tom Cruise, but there was quite a lot of reference to... Well, actually, it was very difficult to follow because as I chatted to people afterwards who'd been there, and we all commented that it was full of Scientology jargon.
Mm. Oh, so the average sort of person was like, what does that mean, kind of thing?
Right? Yes, that's right.
Right.
Yes.
So someone's saying it's so David Miscavige, I think, is how it's...
Like, yes, yeah. thank you. Mm. Yes. So Miscavige, when he came out, I mean, he was held back to the very end, and there was obviously incredible excitement because he was expected, mm-hmm. but nothing had been said that he was going to appear until he did appear.
Well, a smoke and machine then and then anything like that?
No.
Damn it.
and the great drama with a highly scripted address.
Right.
You know. But he was preceded by a series of Scientology followers in New Zealand who, I mean, fascinatingly denounced psychology. Absolutely, there's no need for psychologists at all. They suggested that their anti-drugs programs were going to transform the world and would stop abuse. And there was an advisor to the police, advisor to the New Zealand police, who said that all solutions other than Scientology were going to fail
right.
in terms of dealing with the problems of crime.
Now, okay. Hey, the Scientology opening that we're talking about, so you were saying, the Prime Minister was there, or what?
No, I'm saying I saw the most...
Anybody on the way of New Zealand, like, sort of in that sort of realm that it went at all, do you think?
Well...
Apart from yourself,
you know,
of course.
The people whom they brought forward, who I think were probably their most prominent figures who was present, included somebody from Heritage New Zealand, recognising the work they'd done in restoring the building.
Right, right.
And a figure called Thomas Henry, advised the New Zealand police.
Okay.
Mariana Pecker. Mm-hmm. Chair of the Murray Warden's Charitable Trust in South Auckland.
Right.
And
these people aren't necessarily believers, they're just going to check it out and say,
oh,
nice one.
These speeches were from very strong believers.
Oh, okay.
And not the Heritage New Zealand person.
No, he was just pumped about the building. Fair enough, too. I mean, yeah. Good on them, you know, fixing up
an
old building.
I mean, it certainly transformed a magnificent but run-down building.
The other question I had, Peter, was,
yeah.
Were there any snacks... Good snacks on
yes,
hand.
Yes, there were afterwards.
Oh.
Quite a nice range of Ardenti, although I think it would hardly have survived the huge crowd that was there.
What was on offer?
Oh, there was scones and cakes.
Oh, it just sounds like a nice spread, actually.
That's right.
Oh,
quite
lovely.
A nice spread. Yeah.
Oh, thanks for that, Peter. Thanks for sort of taking a bullet for us and checking that out.
Yeah. Very disappointed you didn't make it yourself.
I was too scared.
Yeah.
I'm damn scared of these things. I just keep my head down, mate. I live too close to that place anyway. I wouldn't want to put a foot wrong.
Okay. Very good.
I do want to have a go on one of those machines, though. It looks like fun.
Yeah, very good.
Hey, thanks, Peter. We'll catch up next week.
Excellent. Bye-bye.
Uru.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.